All right, and the last piece, it's going to be difficult and it's probably going to come out really chunky, but it's answering a student's questions, and she's asking, let's see, so here, what is it, what she's saying, so I'm going to just read what she says, okay, so when you say the only thing we are responsible for is an attitude and action, do you mean ours only? We cannot be responsible for other people's actions or attitudes, right? So an example, if my daughter does something that causes her to be upset, and part of that was my involvement, then am I responsible for my part, and she is responsible for her part? It's not about feeling bad or blaming ourselves. It's seeing that you have done it and admitting it. Or another question is when it comes to communication, if the other party refuses to communicate, then it's not up to me. I just leave it be, right? Communication can only happen between two people willing to talk and agree or disagree. All right, so the gist of the question is, are you going to access your power or not? So there's a saying that responsibility is your access to power. So access is another word to door, right? If you have a locked door, you have no access, right? So the question is, how are you going to open the door? And are you going to knock on doors that are not access to your power, but access to something else, like control or twisting arms? So responsibility simply says, I am a, not the, a cause in the matter, which means I didn't cause it singularly. And very few things actually you cause singularly. If you go back to the seesaw, there's a pivoting point, and you do the first part, and the universe does the second. So you are not causing single-handedly most anything. If you think you do, you have a God complex. You don't cause anything single-handedly. You actually start causing it, and then the universe finishes. What's the universe? God knows, right? Anyway, but what does this mean? So what is the first part? So the first part in taking responsibility is to identifying what belongs to you. Not everything belongs to you. Unless you have 100% control over it, it doesn't belong to you. So going back to my experience in the hospital yesterday, or regarding to this this ordeal with the broken wrist, what I think, okay, what I think completely belongs to me, okay? So whether I said it unconsciously or consciously, it is mine. So when I said to the dude who owns the dogs, okay, that were off the leash and jumped on me. Let me just check if I am still recording. Am I recording? It seems to be. So when I told him, you are not responsible, and just go home, I can take responsibility for saying that. Now, legally, he is responsible. or I don't know. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. Maybe he's responsible for the fine that he would pay, $20, $10, $100, that he had his dogs off the leash. I don't know if he would be financially responsible for the damage that his dogs caused. But I told him, I will not hold you responsible, okay? Now, I had no idea, not even an inkling, that it will cost me a fortune. So do I regret that I said that? No. So why don't I? Well, this whole experience would have been completely different had I said, you are responsible for that, and I'm responsible for what, right? So I would have rendered myself his victim, right? Now, is it good for me? I mean, maybe it's good for you. Maybe financially it would have been better. But in the long view of life, giving up, being fully responsible for my own life, for, let's say, however many months, or having to go to court, would it be beneficial for me? Well, I would probably lose more money than what I would have gained by being this two-faced fraud, okay? Because that's not what I teach. And I would have to lose my self-respect, and I would have something to hide, and I would have to be self-righteous. It's like, oh, no, I don't go there. So I don't regret. I am actually grateful that I was present enough to who I am and what's important to me, that I could say, you're not responsible. Go home. I'm even surprising myself, but that's just how it is. So in the incident that the student talks about, the child getting angry at her or upset, because she was present, she needs to find and clearly distinguish the attitudes, the thoughts, and the actions that were hers, whether they were good or bad or indifferent. You know, that dude with the dogs was having a good old time. It was Friday night, and at the end of the week, and two dogs, and they were chasing sticks and all that, and he was having the time of his life. And yet, he could be responsible for saying, nothing will happen if I let my dogs off the leash. Because this is a safe space. This is a dog heaven. It's not. It's a public street. So he could say, I can't take responsibility for being magnanimous at the expense of the public. And I could say, he could say, I am responsible for not training my dogs to be socially, behavior, whatever, okay? Because jumping on a stranger is not good behavior, okay? So these are the things that he could have been responsible. And no guilt. Look, he's sitting next to me. I was laid out on the pavement, right? No guilt or pity would nil out that he was responsible and he didn't do something that it was his legal obligation to do, keep his dogs on a leash. Yeah, so I think that this may answer the first question. The second question, communication. Well, until you know what communication is, this question is nonsensical, okay? It's you want to have a conversation where the other person is going to discuss something. That's not communication. Communication is a lot more than that. So if you don't have the elements of communication that allows the other person to feel safe with you, you could be responsible for that. Now, does anybody teach how to have the elements of communication? Well, other than the Landmark or people who stole Landmark intellectual property, no. And you probably have no idea that there is some work that you didn't do or you don't even know you could have done, and that talking isn't communication. So asking that question without knowing the first thing about communication is silly. Now, do you know that I do those things? No, you wouldn't recognize it if you tripped over it, because they are distinctions, and you have not many. I mean, I'm not talking personally to this girl. I'm talking to everybody. You barely have any distinctions, and if you have any, you have the top of the iceberg distinctions, not the depth. So you pretty much don't know anything about anything other than those 400-word articles, 500-word articles in any medium, by the way, teach you, that are as superficial as you are. And you come to my site and listen to my stuff or read my stuff, and you bring the same thing. Oh, it's superficial. Oh, meow, meow, meow. It's all pretty, right? All cosmetics. All surface. Oh, she sounds like Frankenstein's daughter. Yeah, because you didn't listen deeply. Oh, I am a good person. Yeah, you didn't listen deeply. You're not a good person. I am not a good person. Because if you really look, what is good? I mean, unless you have eliminated almost all the deviance from the straight and narrow, you're not a good person. Am I a good person? Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not there yet. And if I'm not there yet, and you think that because I use four-letter words or because I laugh ugly or speak bad English or you don't like my Jewish face, that I am a bad person, you're even worse than I thought, you know? Like, ooh. All right, so enough of this. I hope enough of you got offended. I really think that whenever you get offended, you prove to me and to yourself that you don't belong here. That was the first thing that I removed that actually caused almost an instant rise in my vibration, being offended. All right, this is it for today. I don't know if that was a good answer to my students' questions, but that's what I had to say. Okay, thank you. Bye.